Organizing the polls on Election Day is never easy, but it's looking like an especially big challenge this year amid the COVID-19 pandemic and a contentious presidential campaign. Our next guest looked to the data to find out what the most efficient way to staff and run voting places will be on November 3rd. Using the city of Milwaukee as a model, her work came up with five recommendations for Election Day. Laura Albert is a professor of industrial and systems engineering at UW-Madison. Laura, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Where did the idea come from to try to look at the most efficient and effective ways to stage the election?
That's a great question. I study systems and industrial engineering and how to protect critical infrastructure, and elections are critical infrastructure. This summer, I didn't leave the house very frequently, but one time when I did, I ran into Professor Barry Burden at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in the political science department. He's an expert at politics, and we were chatting about the importance of queuing theory and designing elections. And I'm an expert at queuing theory.
And so what? Wait, I'm going to stop you. What's queuing theory?
It's the science of waiting in line.
All right.
So industrial engineers don't like waiting in line, and it becomes very important when designing elections. And he's been involved with the Wisconsin Election Committee's preparations for the fall elections. And industrial engineering tools like queuing theory are pretty relevant. And I was really interested in studying this, especially using Milwaukee as a case study because of their spring primary election was a little controversial. Mm-hmm. And so I developed a detailed discrete event simulation model to study a variety of possible operating conditions on election day. And if we change the inputs a little bit, we can look at the outputs, which is usually voter waiting time, but also things like voter safety. Hmm. And we can get some insight into how to design a safe and efficient election.
Well, let's look at one of the factors, which is the number of poll workers needed to make this run smoothly in this particular case. What did you come up with?
Sure. So that was one of the challenges, was preparing for a safe election when there are potential poll worker shortages. And when we did the simulation, we found that having a high level of staffing, even with a high level of early voting, is really critical. And that was a surprising finding because so many voters plan to vote early and many already have at this point. But what happens is that there are so many protective measures in place, even things like just wearing masks and bringing your own pen and having plexiglass barriers. Those things slow down the voting process, in particular the check-in process. And if you just slow that down for a few seconds for each voter, a long line becomes a record-setting long line. And so it's really important for this election to have more poll workers to first have extra check-in stations, since that's the bottleneck, but then also to direct voters and provide some additional information.
And you also looked at safety. Obviously, you had some recommendations for extra safety measures, not just like you talked about, like wiping things down, but going back to that queuing theory and standing in line. What are some of the ideas you had for extra safety?
Sure. So most queues, especially for something like voting, are first come, first serve. Everybody waits in a line, and that's widely seen as fair. And I would generally say that's pretty fair. In terms of safety for voters, it's the first come, first serve means that there's unequal risk for some voters in terms of acquiring the COVID-19 virus. And that's something that a lot of election officials and voters and poll workers are concerned with. And you can't really open up the polls for an extra hour for high-risk voters in the morning because mm-hmm. you need the same voting times for everyone.
Which is so what has been done in grocery stores and things like that.
Exactly. It would be great if we could use that idea. So instead, we proposed a priority queue model, which is kind of like with TSA PreCheck. If they have a single person checking IDs and you've got the regular flyers and then the TSA PreCheck flyers, and then you can kind of alternate voters, you know, take one from the priority line and one from the regular line. And this way the voters who self-identify is high risk for the just the risks associated with the COVID-19 virus can wait less in line. And the question is, well, does this make the wait unfair for everybody else? And it does increase the wait for everybody else, but no more than about 15%. And that might be a good balance. It's up to election officials to decide whether or not to implement it. But from our end, it's in terms of the numbers, it seems feasible.
Talking with Laura Albert right now. She's a professor of industrial and systems engineering at UW-Madison, talking about looking at the data to make Election Day run more smoothly and more safely. And Laura, one more point that I found really interesting is the idea of using arenas. And in Milwaukee, the Fiserv Forum in Miller Park will be used for in-person absentee voting between October 20th and November 1st, not sites on Election Day, but that early voting. What did you find out about the logistics of voting in sports arenas like that?
I'm enthusiastic about using sports arenas before Election Day as a site to encourage early voting. That's one thing suggestion that came out of my analysis is that early voting is really important. At least half of all votes should be cast early, and ideally about three quarters. So having these sports arenas that can encourage that is great. They've also been proposed to be used for in-person voting on Election Day, and I'm less enthusiastic about that suggestion. If that happens, that means voters could either vote at their local polling place or they could choose to go to one of these sports arenas. And some cities, voters have a choice. Mm-hmm. What is counterintuitive about that, you know, there seems like there's a couple upsides. One is that there are extra voting resources, and the large arenas are good for social distancing. They're enormous. So in terms of safety, that makes sense. But the downside is that they don't really put the voting resources where they're needed. And so what happens is just if you take the city of Milwaukee, for example, with its 182 polling stations. The city of Los Angeles, or the county of Los Angeles, has nearly 1,000 polling locations. And if you had just take a couple percent of those voters from all of those different polling locations and you filter them into the same arena, that can overwhelm the sports arena. There's only so many check-in booths that they can staff. And then some of those polling locations where they really do have long waits, now those voters have two choices and they're both bad. There's a line at their local polling location and now there's a line at the arena. So it would be better if we can just have extra staffing at the polling locations where they're needed the most. In the city of Milwaukee, for example, the average voter travels about half a mile to vote, which is great. You don't need a car. You can just walk there. And so if those voters don't have to wait, then they're more likely to vote.
And very briefly, Laura, before we let you go, your analysis used Milwaukee as a model, but could this be applied to the rest of the state as well?
Oh, most definitely. Voting's pretty much the same throughout the state, and in fact, across the country in states that have in-person voting. The details vary, but the whole process is uniform, and so the idea is definitely generalize. And in every state, they use some queuing theory to estimate the number of check-in booths, voting booths, and poll workers that they may need. So queuing theory is playing a role, and the same models can work for multiple states and cities.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Laura.
Thanks for having me.
Laura Albert is a professor of industrial and systems engineering at UW-Madison. She talked with us about her recommendations for logistics this Election Day.